Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means the second law, the repeat. They received the law at the beginning of their journey, and Moses reviews the law before he dies at the end of their journey. He's restating the law to a new generation, and this book does not contain a new law, but it's the second stating, the second giving of the original law that was given at Mount Sinai. The purpose, of course, there are several reasons, I believe, for the purpose of this book. There's a new generation. The old generation, except for Caleb and Joshua, had perished in the wilderness. And the new generation needed to hear again. We all have short memories. And these people were 20 years of age and under when the nation failed decades before at Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea is where they were camped when we were discussing Numbers 13 and 14. A few weeks back, we took two Sundays to deal with that. That was a great turning point, Kadesh Barnea. Up to now, the nation's life has been unsettled. They had been pilgrims. They had been wanderers for the past 40 years. Prior to that, they had spent 400 years in Egypt. And that, of course, after generation had become home, quote unquote, home to them. So there would be battles to fight, and they would need to be prepared. And the best way to prepare for the future is to understand the past. And sometimes there's a tendency to gloss over the past. I'm so glad that we took a time this morning to honor the past, to look back from whence we have come. The best way to prepare for the future is to understand the past. Some famous philosopher, it's been attributed to many, came up with, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. How true, how true. Moses wanted the nation to remember what God had done. Moses is about to die, so there needs to be a new leader. Joshua was ordained of God to take over the leadership of the nation. Moses knew that the success of the nation depended upon the people obeying God, no matter who the human leader might be. If they were grounded in the Word and loved the Lord, they would follow Joshua and ultimately win the victory. Of course, there are new temptations. A settled people in a land would face different problems than a pilgrim people in the wilderness. Moses wanted them not only to possess the land, but to maintain that possession. So he warned them of dangers, and he gave them a way, a pattern for success. In a spiritual sense, too many Christians stand with Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And here's the words that I spoke a few moments ago about the song. The book of Deuteronomy opens with Moses. These are the words. These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel on this side of the Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain opposite Suf, between Panram, Tufel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahab. I probably mispronounced all of those, but you can read them. It is 11 days' journey from Horeb by way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. That is a tragic verse. Now it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, so the 40 years are almost over. They're in the 11th month of the 40th year. On the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him as commandments to them. In a spiritual sense, many Christians stand with Israel in Deuteronomy, the first three verses. They had been redeemed from Egypt, brought out by the strong hand of God, but they had not yet entered into their spiritual inheritance. Not Israel, not many Christians. They stand on this side of the Jordan. That phrase appears a number of times. This side of Jordan means they were on the east side. You had to look west, cross the Jordan, to see the promised land. Look south, look west, look north. That was the promised land. They're still on this side of the Jordan. They haven't entered into that yet. But we'll say more about that in a little bit. They need to hear God's word again and step out by faith to claim their inheritance. And so Deuteronomy is somewhat a deeper message to the people. I don't think we can help but be impressed. I have been immensely impressed again just the last week of the message of Deuteronomy. Moses gives this message concerning the spiritual life of the people. We find the word love some 20 to 25 times. I've read both. I've read 20, I've read 25. Somebody's not counting right. I'm not going to take the time to see who's right. But the word love appears. We were sort of brought up in my generation that the God of the Old Testament was a bully. He was not approachable. You didn't find love in the Old Testament. He wasn't a God of love. You didn't find love until you got to the New Testament and Jesus. Well, the book of Deuteronomy is full of this. We find the word love. The emphasis not found in Genesis through Numbers. Love for God and God's love for the people is a new theme in Deuteronomy. Chapter 4, 6, 7, 10, 11, 30, and so forth. While the previous books certainly speak of love and prove God's love for Israel, Deuteronomy emphasizes this theme as never before. The word heart is also important in Deuteronomy. The word must be in their hearts. Sin begins in the heart. Chapter 7 and 8. They must love God from the heart. Chapter 10. In other words, Moses makes it clear that blessings come when the heart is right. In order for the people to possess and enjoy the land, their hearts had to be filled with love for God and His Word. And one other observation before we hit the text. Deuteronomy is a book for everyone. Leviticus, or Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers are somewhat technical books, belonging in a special way to the priests and the Levites, and the building of the tabernacle, and the repeating of the laws that were found in previous books. How to do this and how to do that and how to offer the sacrifice and what sacrifices to offer. More technical stuff. But when you come to the book of Deuteronomy, it's the everyday life. Everyday lives of people. all of us today can learn much from Deuteronomy about loving God and obeying His will. Someone who has an ability to count words has compiled a list of words out of Deuteronomy. Let me give you some. Land, 153 times. Inherit, 36. Possess, 65. Hear, 44. Hearken, 27. Heart, 46. Love, 20 or 25. And putting these repeated words together, we can see quickly the emphasis of the book. You will go in and possess the land if you hear God's word, love Him, and hearken. Hearken there is not just hear, but hearken has the idea of obeying. Now let me give you four phrases. It's one sentence, but it's four phrases. If you will get these four phrases, you ought to write them down. If we love God, we will obey God. If we obey God, He will bless us. That's the message of the book. If we love God, we will obey Him. And if we obey Him, He will bless. That's it in a nutshell. As Moses begins a series of addresses, and that's what the book of Deuteronomy is. It's a series of speeches, sermons, orations, whatever you want to call them. But there is a series, something like maybe about 8 in the book of Deuteronomy. He reviews the past history of the nation. It's a sin to live in the past. We've all heard that. But we never understand the present or prepare for the future if we're ignorant of the past. You can't live there, but don't ignore it. You don't get a redo, but learn from it. There are three things, and we'll go this morning as long as we have time. I can quit any time because we're going to go consecutively. First of all, he reminds us of God's guidance. God's guidance. Chapters 1, 2, and 3. The nation is gathered on what was called the Plain of Moab. On this side, on the east side of the Jordan. It had taken them 40 years to get there. They're now in the 11th month of the 40th year. I think that's what we read, isn't it? 11th month, first day of the month. That means there's only 2 months left in that 40-year period. A lot's going to happen in those 2 months. It's amazing. Verse 2, I commented a moment ago, it's a tragic verse. It is 11 days' journey from Mount Horeb. That's where the Ten Commandments were given. That's where they had camped. By way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. It had taken them 40 years to get there. A journey that should have taken 11 days took them 39 plus years. Because they did not obey. The tragedy of unbelief, and we studied that in Numbers 13 and 14. It wastes time, energy, manpower. It robs God of the glory that's due His name. Moses began to declare God's law, and this word declare literally means to engrave. To engrave the word of God upon their hearts. From Sinai to Kadesh, the nation had camped at Mount Horeb from the 3rd month of the 1st year as they've come out of Egypt. until the second month of the second year. So they were at Mount Horeb not quite a year after their exodus. During this time, Moses has received the law. The tabernacle has been constructed and erected, and all the furniture and all the pots and pans and knives and forks and all everything that they needed for sacrifice and service was constructed during that time. Moses even reviews his own failure, verses 9 through 18, as well as the failure of the nation. The new generation certainly should know why the nation was organized as it was and why the nation had not entered its inheritance sooner. Moses makes it clear that their sin at Kadesh Barnea was a rebellion, not only against him and his leadership, but a rebellion against God. They were guided from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. They were guided by the nations that they avoided. Chapter 2. Moses passed the years of wandering with one sentence. This struck me. Verse 46, chapter 1. So you remained in Kadesh many days, according to the days that you spent there. What's Moses saying there? Once they got to Kadesh, they would not go in. They wept, they cried, they prayed, they pleaded with Moses, no, we can't, it's giants, fill the land, walls, cities, high walls, iron bars on the gates. All the reasons why they could not go in and take it. And so God said, you're just going to wander around. You're not going in. You're just going to wander around. If you look up on your Bible maps, you'll find Mount Seir. S-E-I-R. Is that the way you pronounce it, or the way you spell it? Or S-I-R-E? I don't have it in my notes at this point. But they wander around and around and around and around for 38 plus years. They don't go anywhere. They don't go anywhere. They don't get that far from Kadesh. They went that far and no further. And so God says, just start. And they begin to die and die and die and die and die. Three nations were to be avoided as they wander. Edom was to be avoided. Edom was the descendants of Esau. Esau was a brother of Jacob. Moab and Ammon. The Moabites and the Ammonites. They were sons of Lot, who was a nephew of Abraham. In other words, whether we like it or understand it, they were part of the family. They're part of the pyramid of the Abraham family. God says, leave them alone. You're not to go through their land. You're not to take anything from them. Just let them alone. Nations to be avoided. God would not permit his people to fight with them. God protected Israel as they passed through the borders of those great tribes or nations. Then there's nations that they defeated. Two reasons why God allowed Israel to fight and conquer these nations. as a warning to the nations that were in Canaan, the nations that they had to go in and eventually drive out. In other words, God wanted to send a message. You take care of these nations that are on this side of the Jordan. And word is going to get out to these peoples over here in the promised land. There's going to be a fear and dread of you come upon them when they hear what you have done to these. And it makes that land on the east side of the Jordan, it makes that land available to the 2.5 tribes. Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh. They had asked for territory on the east side. So when these nations that live over here are conquered, then that land can become theirs. And the fear of you will be upon the nations in the land of Canaan. God had guided and protected Israel in the past, and certainly he would be with them in the future. He reminds them of guidance. He reminds them of God's glory and greatness in chapters 4 and 5. In this section, Moses takes the nation back to Sinai, not literally, but in his message, where God's glory and God's greatness were revealed, where the nation trembled at God's law when it thundered from Mount Sinai. The people were in danger of forgetting the glory and the greatness of God. If you have your Bibles open, turn to chapter 4. First of all, look at verse 9. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Lest you forget. Verse 23. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. God is saying, if you forget my word, you're going to end up in idolatry. You're going to start carving images to worship. God had guided and protected. The people were in danger now of forgetting the glory and the greatness of God. Verse 31, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you nor destroy you nor forget the covenant to your fathers which he swore to them. God is not going to forget. You may forget, but God's not going to forget. Don't forget his greatness and his glory. Forgetting his word in verses 1 through 13. Turning to idols 14 through 49. And neglecting the law, all of chapter 5. Beware, beware, he is saying. He comes to chapter 5, is a review of the Ten Commandments. Moses takes them. Different order. Deals with all of them. Here in chapter 5. God says, Don't forget my word. Over and over. Don't forget my word. Obey my word. Obedience brings blessing. Moses repeats the Ten Commandments, the basis for God's moral law. In fact, the rest of Deuteronomy is actually an amplification, an application of the commandments. Israel was to hear, listen, here's four words for you. They were to hear, they were to learn, they were to keep, they were to obey. Do these laws. Simple words. Hard to do when we walk in the flesh. When the heart is stone rather than flesh. Israel was to hear, learn, keep, and do. Obey. For in obeying the law, they would be honoring God. They would be opening the way to victory and blessing. Hear, O Israel, is an important phrase in this book. Hear, O Israel. How often we said to our children, listen to me. Listen to me. We want them to get it. We want them to do it. We want them to obey. God is teaching his children, this nation, as a child, growing them up, teaching them like a parent would teach their children. God gave the law to reveal sin, to prepare the nation for the coming of Christ, to make them a separated nation, to make them different, because God wanted to use this nation as a testimony to the world. Israel was to be a testimony for God in the world. And you can't do that by living like the world and being like the world. They were to be different. They were to be separate. They were to be special, if I can use that word. Let me hit the last point. He reminds them of guidance. He reminded them of his goodness and his glory, or his glory and his greatness. And thirdly, he reminds them of God's goodness. In chapter 6, in chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. So it shall be, when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. Oh, wow. Houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full, then beware. Then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. When you read verses 10 and 11, you see abundance. I'm going to bring you into this large and beautiful land full of beautiful cities and houses and wells and vineyards and olive trees. And you're going to eat and you're going to be full. But beware. There's something in us. There's something in us that causes blessing to pull us away from God. We become satisfied. We become complacent. We look what I did. Look what I got. And they turn their eyes from God to self, to abundance, to ease, and they forget who brought them here. They forget who brought them here. God is a jealous God, verse 15 says, of chapter 6. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you, for the Lord your God is a jealous God. A jealous God. This takes us back to Exodus 20, where God entered into a covenant relationship with Israel. And just as a husband has a right to be jealous over his wife, so God has a right to be jealous over his people. Idolatry is spiritual adultery. And Israel was often guilty of that sin. The parents were to remind their children of what God had done for the nation. Just as Moses is reminding them now in the book of Deuteronomy. Verses 6-9. Of chapter 6, make it clear that the word of God was to be a part of the home. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. All things that you do at home. When you go to bed, talk about them. When you put them to bed, talk about them. When you sit at the table, talk about it. When you're sitting in your living room, talk about it. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontless between your eyes. And we all know the confrontation that Jesus had in the Gospels with those who wore the little boxes tied to their head, the little boxes that were tied to their arms. They had the little boxes, but they didn't have the spirit of it. It wasn't in their heart. You can't wear it on your sleeve. It's to be in your heart, the Word of God. New Testament Christians, which we are, need these warnings as well. How prone we are to forget God's guidance and complain when circumstances become uncomfortable, when it gets a little hard, when it gets a little tough. We are quick to bail out. You know that's not my style. But that's what we're prone to do. prone to forget God's guidance. He has helped us in days gone by. We could be here all day recounting, telling the stories of what God has done in the past, of God's provision and God's blessing. But it's easy for idols to creep into our lives. We can even make idols out of good things that should not have that much emphasis. We need to remind ourselves of His goodness, how wonderful He has been, how wonderfully He has cared for us. If we love Him and His Word with all our hearts, then He will bless us, and we will be a blessing to others. The message that I would leave with you this morning: don't miss the blessing. Don't miss the blessing that God wants to give. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Deuteronomy. It's a reminder book. It hits where we live. Thank You for the reminder. Thank You, Father, for the wonderful words of life. May we receive, Father, as we have need, individually. May we receive through Your Spirit what we need out of this message. It's not just my message. Lord, it's Your Word. It's Your message to a long ago people that You use as illustration to teach generation after generation. Help us to learn. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen and amen.